The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Stu for Glenn, who's a little under the weather today. 888-727-BECK. There's a lot to get to today, including the latest on Keith Ellison, who is number two at the DNC. Yeah, because Perez is number one, but he's the head of the DNC. And Keith Ellison actually there was a lot of speculation that he was actually going to be appointed to head up the DNC. Radical guy, an extremist guy, but a wonderful man.
Well, what we're learning, Pat, is that all Democrats have at least hung out at one point or another with Louis Farrakhan. This is just something that's just part of being a Democrat, I think.
But that's okay, because there's nobody sweeter than Louis Farrakhan.
He's a really nice man.
Really nice guy.
Really nice guy. Good guy in the community.
A diverse and inclusive man. Tolerant.
A loving man is what I would say about him. Now, we just learned that Barack Obama, former president of the United States before he was president, hung out at one point or another with Louis Farrakhan, and a picture was taken of this event. And the journalist who took it hid it by his own words. He said he hid it because he didn't want to hurt Barack Obama's future career.
And you might be saying, well, so what? It's just a picture with a guy.
Right.
If that had been, let's say, Donald Trump pictured at an event with David Duke,
smiling, shaking
his having
hands.
A good time, and then we find out that whoever took the picture hid it because they knew it'd be damaging to them. I kind of wonder if the mainstream media wouldn't make a really big deal out of that.
I think they might notice.
I think they might notice.
There's a possibility because when Trump was on TV and he was asked by, I think it was Jake Tapper at the time, "Hey, do you denounce David Duke?" He wasn't hanging out with David Duke. He didn't have any pictures with David Duke, but he didn't immediately refute and say, "I don't want, you know, I don't love David Duke."
He didn't. Yeah, he did later, but he didn't do it at that moment,
and that was a big scandal.
And people went nuts.
This is the guy who was president of the United States for 8 years, who we know had ties with people of questionable character, such as Reverend Wright, that believe similar things, though they would come at it from two different religious arenas. They believed seemingly similar things, such as, AIDS was created by the government to kill black people. Things like that. Okay.
Right.
So Louis Farrakhan is that type of guy. He's a guy who believes those type of things. He said all sorts of crazy stuff. We can go over those in a moment. But Keith Ellison, apparently in 2006, if you remember this, he was in the Nation of Islam, and he came out and he apologized to Jewish groups in 2006. He said he has long since distanced himself and rejected the Nation of Islam. So that's what you knew.
Wow, powerful.
That's powerful.
It's powerful.
The problem is, 7 years later, in 2013, Louis Farrakhan had a dinner with Keith Ellison and Iranian President Hassan Rouhani in 2013. This is a minor problem, you would think. I mean, can you think of the equivalent here? A high-level Republican congressman, who number two guy in the RNC, if a congressman were at that position, having dinner with David Duke in 2013. Not in 1983, but 2013.
And the president of one of our worst enemies. I mean, let's face it, Iran's not exactly a friend of ours.
No.
And it's dinner with Farrakhan and the president of Iran. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. It's problematic, I would think.
There are also photos of the
three of them together?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you'd think that this would be a bigger story. It doesn't seem to be one. Can you picture, Paul Ryan just hanging out, having a little dinner with a little, a little Louis Farrakhan, and maybe, maybe a president of one of our biggest enemies, too. We'll just throw that in there.
Right.
But that doesn't seem like something that would be overlooked. Do we remember? Maybe people aren't familiar with who Louis Farrakhan is. Maybe that's the issue. maybe people think he's just look, he did hang out with the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Have you ever hung out with the president of the United States, Pat?
I haven't.
I haven't either.
No, I have not.
I've had zero pictures with presidents of the United States.
Any of them.
That I can think of.
I don't even have pictures with former presidents of the United States.
I might have
you
one.
You can imagine.
Well, I have George H.W. Bush we did an interview with.
Once. Oh, yeah, that's so right. You went to Kenny Bunkport,
that's
right?
The only one, though.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot there. But maybe this is the type of thing that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe Louis Farrakhan, he's just hanging out at the local Panera Bread. People walk in, they have lunch with him. It just, that's what happens.
I can't help it if the president of Iran and Louis Farrakhan walked in here and asked me if there was anybody sitting at these seats. The answer was no. No one was sitting there.
What's he going to do, lie? There was no one sitting with me at that booth, the Panera Bread booth that has the actual nice comfortable chairs.
Uh-huh.
Like the kind of, they have those, you know, the nice padded chairs in some of the corners.
And there's so few of those.
There's, yeah, yeah.
You don't want the president of Iran to sit in an uncomfortable chair.
You sit him in a booth?
What, do you want him to think America's not hospitable?
Yeah.
No, you don't want that.
You want Farrakhan in one of those middle tables with normal chairs? That's not going to happen.
No.
Look, he's the president of a country and a guy who has very important opinions.
Yes, he does.
Well,
and has done maybe some very important things. He, you know, well, we'll get to that in a second. We have kind of some of his most beautiful statements that he's made that are peaceful and loving and very nearly poetic.
Pretty close to that. Here's the best of Louis Farrakhan.
And I watch the evil of the United States government at work.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they will tell you they're different from their fathers.
It's the same devil.
You may not want to fight. You better get ready. Teach your baby how to throw the bottle if they can.
Why should anybody who criticizes Jewish behavior that ill affects black people and their pursuit of happiness be considered anti-Semitic?
Hitler was a very great man. He rose Germany up from the ashes of her defeat.
Don't you be fooled by a smile and a pat on the back and a white woman in your arms, brother.
Even if you mean good, I don't give a damn. You go with your own people.
It's a deep guilt thing that white folks suffer. You are afraid that if we ever come to power, we will do to you and your fathers what you and your people have done to us.
But we'll tear this god country up.
I mean, that's... loving and respectful, and I mean, and let's not forget this.
Yeah, I love Elijah Muhammad enough that if you attack him, I would kill you.
Oh,
what? Yesterday, I mean,
obviously,
today, and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a killer.
And he's not. Well unless you piss him off.
Mm-hmm. But if somebody attack what you love,
right? Yeah.
Each one of you in here would become a killer instantaneously.
We don't give a damn about no white man law when you attack what we love.
Yeah. Do you care about white man law?
Not when they attack what I love.
Not when they attack what I love. No.
It's white man law.
That's not for everybody. It's just for white men.
Right. I mean, look, there's something to be said for white man law.
Yeah.
If you're white...
Yes.
My understanding is white man law only applies to white people.
Exactly.
So that is a distinction that's important.
And that's why he's making it here.
It ain't none of your business.
None of your business. It's not your business.
What have you got to say about it?
Right. Good question.
Did you teach Malcolm?
I didn't.
Did you make Malcolm?
Uh-uh.
No.
Did you clean up Malcolm?
I
did
didn't.
Did you put Malcolm out before the world?
No.
Was Malcolm your traitor or was he out?
He was yours.
And if we dealt with him like a nation deals with a traitor, what the hell business is it of yours?
Yeah. Look, if he killed or had Malcolm X killed, what business is that of mine? None.
My understanding is that is not a violation of white man law.
Right.
Oh, it may be a slight violation of white man law, but that doesn't apply here.
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Did you make Malcolm?
I did not. No.
Did you teach Malcolm?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not clean him up either.
Malcolm, you didn't clean him up.
Which I guess he was dirty.
Did Malcolm betray you? No.
No, he did not.
No, he did not.
I don't think so. No.
So he never... if he betrayed Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam and they had him killed, that's none of your business.
I guess my big point to that would be, and?
Right.
Yes. Right. So, yes. So. And?
So.
Right.
So here's Keith Ellison, yeah. Second in charge at the DNC, having dinner with this wonderful man and the president of Iran. Not two of the most friendly people to the United States of America.
In all honesty, is this a story? Is this a story? The fact that in 2013, not 1983, 2013, this guy, 7 years after he publicly denounced the Nation of Islam, is having dinner with Louis Farrakhan, the guy who says the things that you just heard, including many, many others that we don't... I mean, we could play them all day. We could do an entire show on just terrible things Louis Farrakhan has said and believes. Is that okay? Is that even a story? The number two guy at the DNC is doing that? That an elected congressman is doing that?
Well, again, and this gets so tiresome. But if it was somebody on the right, this would be the front page story of the New York Times for the next 3 weeks. It would be the lead story on CNN and MSNBC. And they would hammer this. They would hammer this.
Yeah.
And they would tell you why it's such a big deal that, you know, the head of the RNC had dinner with, let's say, David Duke. That would be a really similar circumstance to what we're talking about.
Very
here.
Similar. And by the way, it should be a big story.
It should.
If a big right wing congressman was hanging with David Duke and having dinner with him, and of course, you know, sure, the president of one of our biggest enemies at the same time, we're just throwing that one out. But if that were to happen, it would be a big story and should be a big story. You know, that should not be something. You should not, like, Paul Ryan should not be just hanging out with David Duke or someone similar.
And yet, you can find this on Haaretz, which is an Israeli source. Mm-hmm. Fox News mentioned it, and the Washington Free Beacon. That's about all I can find as far as mentions on this. This isn't at NBC and ABC and CBS and CNN. They don't care about this at all. They don't care. It's amazing. The hypocrisy is amazing. But did Rob Porter get hired at the White House when somebody might have known that he was abusive to his former wives? That story, you got to hear every 5 minutes.
And let's be honest about it. Rob Porter.
And that is a story that, you know, it's trouble.
Yep. And Rob Porter was an important figure in the White House. However, nobody... CNN probably mentioned his name twice in the last year before the scandal broke. It's not like he was a public figure in that way. He was an important figure in the White House. That job is an important job in the White House, but it's not the type of thing that's covered by the public. And I have no problem with them covering the Porter thing, by the way. I mean, you know, look, you hit your wife, you know, these things are going to happen to you and you deserve
it.
Should
be covered. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think the fallout of Kelly potentially leaving. I mean, that's the big talk today on that front is that Kelly could be, you know, Trump had apparently soured on Kelly anyway because he felt he was too controlling. And now there's a potential that he may go and maybe Gary Cohen steps in or, Mulvaney or McCarthy. I mean, there's a bunch of names being sort of tossed around. Whether that happens or not, I mean, you know, I think they did handle this fairly poorly. That was their first, you know, that's what the press, the number two under Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, basically, look, you know, we didn't do a great job on this, but here's the truth. They've just changed their story a bunch of times and it's hurt them. And it's not that you need to ignore that story. That's a story too. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is a guy among the leadership of the DNC. He's a guy who people know who Keith Ellison is. He's not like some unnamed congressman. He's a guy who makes a lot of noise, who says a lot of things about the right. They like quoting him when he's bashing Trump or bashing some conservative. They like him then.
Yep.
The fact that this guy in 2013 was doing this and no one's even bothering talking about it, except as you point out, the Free Beacon and Fox News, maybe a couple of
Israeli sources.
And it's amazing.
888-900-BECK.
You're Pat Gray Unleashed mode, and Pat Gray Unleashed has a different phone number.
It does.
From us. Ours is 888-727-BECK.
Too many phone numbers. I mean, you should just have it programmed into your phone.
Right.
And then I just say hit two.
Yeah, just one. Call. Just yeah, call. Just there call. You go. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. It's Pat and Stu in for Glenn, who's out, we believe, with the flu. And we can we'll call it flu slash he forgot to get Valentine's Day presents. That's the actual technical description of the disease he has. So he'll be back. I don't know. Maybe he'll be back tomorrow. But with the flu, God only knows. Grocery stores only keep a day or two of food on hand, which is pretty amazing. I mean, capitalism has created a society in which you can kind of go to a grocery store and there's always food there. We always believe it will be there. But, you know, they got to restock every single day. And when a crisis strikes, or even a warning that a crisis may strike, you know, the food disappears in hours from your local store. We've seen this over and over again on the news. What you don't see on the news are the people who aren't worried about that, the people who aren't rushing to the store to buy the food that they need to get through a crisis, because they've already trusted My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is who I trust for food storage, and it's the easiest way, because you don't have to deal with knowing what you're doing. You just call them and ask them what is a great thing to do, and they can hook you up. For example, this week, they've got the 72-hour emergency food kit for only $10. I mean, look, I understand, because I'm a guy who does not like to prepare for anything, but if you can't spend $10 to get you through a major crisis, I mean, that's an easy step. They make it perfectly easy for you. You can order a kit for every member in your family, 800-200-9031, or preparewithglenn.com. Food lasts for 25 years and keeps you from having to rush to the grocery store only to find the empty shelves. Call My Patriot Supply, 800-200-9031, or preparewithglenn.com. Limit 4 while supplies last is 800-200-9031 or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
I don't care about your white man law. You got nothing to do with me. Even though I'm white, it's white man law. What do I care?
Well, I think it would be wrong to for me to tell you that you're either white or a man.
I don't identify that way at all.
Yeah, you got to make your own decision up on that, what you are.
It's none of your business what I do. None of your business. Why are you even bothering me about whether or not I killed Malcolm X? What do you care?
It's a minor issue. Let's have dinner.
You're right. And let's have dinner with Keith Ellison and the president of Iran. This is an amazing story. It's an amazing story. And like you said, it didn't happen in 1986. It happened in 2013.
Yeah, he was asked about this on MSNBC. Should we have time for this audio? He was asked about, generally, Keith. This is Keith Ellison, by the way, in case you're just joining us. Democratic congressman, number two at the DNC. Talking about Farrakhan on MSNBC.
You know, just to clarify it then, based on, again, all these quotes and sort of the buzz out there, what CNN and others were reporting on what you said before, do you believe that Louis Farrakhan is an anti-Semite?
Sure, but I mean, what does he have to do with anything going on in this race or this country at this time? Absolutely nothing.
Well, CNN says that you've said some positive things about Minister Farrakhan, a role model for black youth.
But here's the thing, Joe. We're talking about something that happened in 1995.
Right.
This was a year then the Million Man March took off.
Right.
People were attacking the march at the time. The march was a very good thing. I was very proud to be part of it. But here I am having to answer questions about this. And I'm not talking about what our country needs to look like and what the Democratic Party can do.
Sure.
Because this smear campaign from almost 21 years ago or something like that is about distracting and taking people away from the issues that really are at hand in this case.
Now, think about this for a second. This is a guy sitting here knowing that 3 years ago he had dinner with this guy, not 21 years ago, because the Million Man March was 1995. Mm-hmm. Now, look, there are a lot of people involved in the Million Man March. And at the time, it was controversial. However, Farrakhan was a much more widely accepted figure in 1995. There was a lot of people who associated themselves with him over the years. You know, you say you don't like Jews enough. Eventually, people are like, let's not go to dinner together. There's a little bit of a tendency for people to maybe sit at another table. So Farrakhan's on
not
MSNBC.
Not for Keith Ellison, though.
No.
Because I love the question, is Louis Farrakhan an anti-Semite? Well, sure. But you know what? So am I. So what do I care about that? I mean, that's essentially what you get from Keith Ellison, because he's an anti-Semite, too.
Well, I mean, look, he knew what he was doing there. He was acting as if this was an old allegation when he knew very well that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And that is, it takes a hell of a lot of, you know, it takes balls, right? To go on there and say,
it does.
When you know that this, well, there's photos that could come out at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, luckily, mm-hmm. I think he believes he has the media on the other side. I love That's how MSNBC was so sure. Look, CNN is saying this. We're not saying this. I'm just saying CNN is saying this. Now, CNN didn't report this particular thing we're talking about today, but they did at least report the association and the fact that this is a fairly controversial figure. Yeah, Louis Farrakhan, not the guy to hang out with at dinner.
Not at all.
No.
Not to mention the president of Iran.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
An enemy.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
You know, we've had a really good run with the market since, I mean, for a while now. I mean, going back to 2008, since it bottomed out in 2009, 2010, we've had a really good run. And a lot of people now are looking at their house and saying, you know what, I've had this house for a long time. I'm looking for something maybe a little bit different, maybe a little smaller, maybe downsizing, maybe just taking some money off the table and locking in the profits you've made over the past couple of years. To do that, though, you need to maximize this, because this could be the biggest financial opportunity you have in your entire life. Selling your house in an up market can mean, you know, setting yourself up for the rest of your life. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com was set up by Glenn to make sure you can find an agent in your area that has a really solid work ethic, that understands that you need to be updated and be you know, to do business in a way that's that makes sense, that you understand, that aligns with your values. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is the place to go. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray, normally doing Pat Gray Unleashed, which immediately follows this show on the Blaze Radio and TV Network, plus Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Glenn is apparently has the flu, so he's out today, but hopefully back soon. 888-727-BECK. Apparently, the poll numbers for the president are starting to improve pretty significantly.
Yeah, they look pretty good. There's a new poll out from Politico Morning Consult, which is, you know, this is the first time in a while that the numbers have been this positive for Trump. They show 47% approval rating, which is really high for his, you know, first year. Mm-hmm. It also shows for the first time that the Republicans are leading the Democrats on the generic ballot, which is in wow. some ways more important mm-hmm. just from the perspective of Trump's got a couple of years before he actually has to run for re-election, mm-hmm. where the, you know, the 2018 election's right around the corner. And that hasn't happened in a long time. But if you look at the Trump numbers specifically, he's at 47% in this poll. Now, this is just one poll, so you can't, you know, you have outliers, right? It could just be an outlier. However, there's been pretty significant improvement for the last couple of months, really since tax reform happened. You know, he was at mid-December, right before tax reform actually passed. He was at a 36.4% average approval rating, which was the lowest of his presidency. In the 2 months since then, it's risen from 36.4 to 41 on average. So, and his disapproval has dropped by 4 points. So he's improved by 4.5 points when it comes to approval rating, and dropped in his disapproval rating by 4 points. Pretty, it's hard to do when you're talking averages. And the fact that it's up to 41% puts him, you know, it's still not great. Obviously, you'd like to be a lot higher than that if you could do it. But still, for Trump, it's one of the highest marks since very early on in his presidency, since about May. So, he, you know, highest numbers since May certainly has helped. I think, you know, the tax reform package, I think, has helped quite a bit on that. I mean, every mm-hmm. day you get a nice little, you know, another story of a company. There's yet another one just yesterday that, you know, hey, we're going to give $15 an hour to our employees with no law, with no Bernie Sanders coming in and saying we have to guarantee $15 an hour to everyone. No massive economic reformation when it comes to, you know, giving giant minimum wage hikes that hurt businesses. They're just deciding to do it on their own because they got a nice tax cut.
If the economy stays strong, it's going to be incredibly difficult, if not impossible, for Democrats to win the presidency in 2020. I mean, a lot can happen between now and then.
Yeah, certainly.
But
yeah.
They released yesterday a list. The Hill had a list of 36 potential Democrat candidates. I went through their list on Pat Gray Unleashed. I can't see any of them beating Donald Trump in 2020. None of them.
Yeah, because you can look at the fundamentals of the polling of the Trump presidency as a Democrat and be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, look, the guy is, you know, historically low when it comes to approval ratings, especially low when you compare it to how the economy is doing. Usually when a president has an economy like this, his approval ratings in the 50s or 60s, and his are in the 30s and 40s. So you can look at that and have optimism until you look
until
at
you
your
look
own
at
candidates.
The field. Yeah, until you look and you see Bernie Sanders, Kirsten Gillibrand, Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, none of these people, none of them, I don't think have a shot at beating Trump.
Well, Cory Booker has tears of rage, though, and he can bring them out at any time.
And Oprah has already said, no, I'm not doing it. That's Oprah's not me. She's not running.
No.
Eric Holder. Throwing his hat into the police. Stop. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about Eric Holder.
No, he's a uniform. I mean, the only people who know about him think he's terrible.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And you think Trump wouldn't use Fast and Furious against that guy?
Oh.
In a heartbeat. He'd be done before he even got started. And then people like Julian Castro, the former mayor of San Antonio, the HUD secretary.
They've been trying to groom him for a while, though.
They have. They keep trying to push him down our throats, and nobody seems to be eating it. So, yeah, I think Trump's in a good position to have two terms.
You know, it's tough to tell this early on.
It is.
But, you know, the economy can obviously switch around. But again, like fundamentally, it comes down to the Democrats coming up with someone who could possibly be elected.
Right.
And they do not seem to be good at that.
Right.
I
and they're still not even throwing Al Gore out there as a possibility. Out of 36 candidates, he's not one of them.
If Gore was going to run, though, he would have run.
True.
I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't have against Hillary. I don't know. But, I mean, if you go back, when is the last time, other than Barack Obama, when have they had an even competent politician? And, again, that's now, I'm not saying I believe Barack Obama was a competent president. I don't think he was, and he was a terrible president in my view. But
he was
popular
at least, with Democrats.
Yeah, and, you know, he did pretty well in the polling. He could give a speech here and there.
Yeah.
You know, he won twice and won twice relatively easily.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, when you look at the, you know, how close elections have been. But who else put out John Kerry? I mean,
terrible.
Just absolutely terrible. When's the last? Seriously, you have Bill Clinton. I mean, go back to 1976. Right? You go back before that. You go back to the 60s. You go back to JFK. Who have they put out there that was even could potentially win? Now, they got a win out of Carter, but that was handed to them. It was handed to them. Outside of that, you have Clinton and Obama and Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, not Hillary.
And they were bad candidates. I mean, Bill Clinton had scandals as soon as he got into the race.
Yeah. Barack Obama had a historically low approval rating as well. People like to think of him as a really popular figure. He wasn't.
Right.
His average approval rating was in the 40s. I mean, low to mid 40s for most of his presidency. He was not a popular president.
Not at all.
He just won two elections.
Yeah.
And he did it. He pulled out every stop to do it, as we saw.
He was a good politician.
Yeah. And look, again, I think you could say 2008 was handed to them. He was running against John McCain in the middle of a financial crisis. Well, of course. Remember John McCain's quote from that election. I don't really. The economy's not really my strong point.
And we might be in Iraq for 100 years.
McCain is universally terrible as a candidate.
Yes.
And so, in some ways, I think like you can compare McCain to Hillary Clinton as the quality of a candidate. They're both really bad candidates. Like, you know, like Hillary Clinton is a generic liberal, I think, in many ways, as far as her viewpoints go. I think when I say liberal, pretty leftist. I mean, you know, significantly leftist. That being said, she's just a really bad candidate. Where, like, you know, John McCain is a very moderate Republican slash basically a Democrat half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And also a terrible candidate. You know, Barack Obama. Now, Mitt Romney, I think, was a tougher battle. It was shown in the results, obviously, that it was a tougher battle. But Romney wasn't, I don't think, an utterly fantastic candidate either, to be frank. And then, you know, you have this this last election where, you know, Hillary Clinton was horrible in every measurable way. Horrible. And if they can't do better than Hillary Clinton, anybody's going to beat them.
Yeah.
I mean,
no doubt about it.
They could run anybody on the right and they would beat them.
As long as President Trump stays out of his own way. But I mean, but we have things like Michael Cohen admitting his lawyer admits that they made the payment to Stormy Daniels, the porn star.
Yeah,
he just admitted it.
Yeah, because there was a question about this, and we've done this before, where it's like, well, if it's true, does it matter?
Yeah, you know, we talked about that a couple weeks ago,
and it was with Stormy Daniels, wasn't it? About Stormy Daniels.
Yes,
if it's true, does it matter? At that point, we didn't know it was true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney, is saying that he did this. He is saying that he gave $130,000 to this porn star.
He is not saying necessarily that Trump and Stormy Daniels had an affair, though.
No,
right? I mean, they might claim. And I haven't heard his claim on this. I just heard that he admitted to the payment. They could say, yeah, well, we just wanted to keep her false claims out of the news.
Right. And I think that's where they will go. Right. Yeah. They do have a statement that's signed that says that she didn't, you know, do this, which is apparently part of the settlement when they gave her.
And she says she doesn't know where that came from. It wasn't her.
That is kind of what she says. She does not.
Yeah.
She says it doesn't look like my signature.
Right.
What she said. Look, the bottom line here is I don't think this sort of stuff makes any difference to people at this point, you know, which is amazing. If you think back to like Bill Clinton, for example, who was a guy everyone knew was kind of like a womanizer, and he had a lot of shady stuff in his life when it came to women. If we had on record an $130,000 payment from a close associate, a longtime lawyer, and Cohen is saying he did this out of his own pocket, the reason he admitted this is because it would have been it's potentially a campaign finance violation. If you give $130,000, which is above the maximum, right, to help a candidate, even if it's indirectly, they can try to come after you for the campaign finance side of it. So the idea is here that he had to admit it, so therefore they could get out of the campaign finance problem. That's why he's coming out and saying, yes, I gave $130,000 to this woman. But can you imagine if that happened to Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, his attorney had paid $130,000 to a porn star? I just think that society as a whole is already priced all this in with Trump.
We have,
And I don't think anybody cares about this at all.
And our entire moral foundation, I think, has shifted and cracked because people just don't care anymore. We used to say that character mattered. We used to say that things like this mattered. They don't seem to the right anymore. They don't seem to matter.
Well, and to be fair, there was the only side ever defending that was the right. You know, like it's
exactly.
Like, you know, people have made this point before. Comedians have made this point in that there is a relationship between men and women where men want to hook up with women. And women would say are the ones who actually have a little restraint, right? Like, you know, guys on the first date are there. They don't need any romancing. They don't need any relationship. They're just there. And for, I don't know, until fairly recently, right? Like women would be like, no, not on the first date, right? Not on the second date. Now we're swiping right and left. And there's not one side of the argument that's saying, no, you know, no thanks anymore. Right. Like,
yeah, nobody's saying
or,
no.
Wait, no, we're going to wait. Let's play it slow. There's no let's play it slow there on either side of the argument. So we just careen very quickly towards the side of we just hook up on the first date after 25 minutes after we swipe whatever direction you're supposed to swipe. And that's kind of what's happened here is for a long time, the left was pushing us into morals. Come on, they're stupid. And the right was saying morals. We must have them. And now both of them are saying neither, it doesn't really matter. So there's no one really pushing that way anymore, including, you know, a good chunk of our religious culture doesn't seem to really care about it anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
And I this doesn't affect the tax plan. This doesn't affect, did Susan Rice do something really shady before Obama left office? Doesn't affect the day-to-day policy stuff that we talk about. But we should always at least stop and pause and note, note for the record that we've changed in a significant way. The Overton window has been pushed to a point where accusations and admissions of large payments to porn stars no longer affect our daily discourse.
Ah, so he paid a porn star $130,000 to keep quiet. Ah,
that's really
where we are, isn't it? That's where we are.
It's where we are, and I don't know. Is it important to note that? I mean,
we should at least admit to ourselves
that it's occurred.
I think it's notable.
It's notable.
888, whatever the number is.
But again,
you know,
but we're quite bad. We started this break with Donald Trump at a high for his approval rating.
47%.
On the same day, his attorney has said that he paid $130,000 to a porn star.
Off a porn star.
They're in the middle of this Michael or the Rob Porter scandal, right?
Yeah. Like,
this has not been a.
Yeah.
You would argue that this has not been necessarily a great week for the Trump administration.
And he just hits a new high.
It's a new high.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That's great.
There you go.
All right.
All right. 888-727 Beck is the number that I know, and Pat no longer remembers.
I don't. Yeah.
But Pat Gray Unleashed is coming up on the program today. And also, we should tell you that tonight, Glenn actually has a special on Calvin Coolidge as we kind of approach President's Day, a show that you have not seen, which is going to be coming up at 5 p.m. And then after that, we're going to have the news and why it matters. That's going to be happening tonight with myself, Pat Gray, Sarah Gonzalez, Doc Thompson. Going to be a cool hour of television tonight at theblaze.com/TV. Let me tell you about American Financing. They're our sponsor this half hour. Now, American Financing is in the middle of something really interesting because we've had historic lows for a long time when it comes to interest rates. The market has done very well. We've been talking about this break, the economy doing really well. That, though, will probably lead to interest rate hikes. There's going to be one in March, it looks like, maybe another one in June, maybe even a third in December. Now, we've had this whole thing where the market has been correcting a little bit because of inflation. This proves this is a great time for you to kind of organize your finances and look at maybe refinancing your mortgage, or if you're going to be buying, this is a great time to buy. The lower interest rate you can lock into, the greater your savings. This is one of those things, if these interest rates go up and you have this nice low 30-year locked rate, that's a great place to be. Now it's the time to kind of look around, start shopping, look for those rates, and you can get started by calling the salary-based mortgage consultants at American Financing. I've dealt with American Financing myself. They were fantastic to me. They know this stuff better than anybody. With American Financing, you can get straightforward and effortless mortgage experience. That's what they do. That's just what they do every single day, and they make this easy for you. Call them now, 800-906-2440. American Financing, it's 800-906-2440, or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
888-700-BECK. Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program.
That's not the number.
Oh, that's right. It isn't, is it? Okay, 888-727.
Yes.
Beck.
How many years did you say that phone number?
A lot, but now I'm saying a different phone number, and so then I come over here and I've got that different phone number in my head.
So here's the thing.
I'm just combining the two, I think.
You're at Pat Gray Unleashed.
Yes.
At Pat Unleashed on Twitter, by the way. You could follow there. So you're over there and you're saying that number 1,000 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you a potential substitute.
Okay.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you could talk about tweeting questions with the hashtag TheBlazeY. WHY. Not the Blazy, but the BlazeY. Hashtag TheBlazeY. Do that on Twitter. And you can ask the questions that we will be answering on tonight's episode of The News and Why It Matters.
And that will happen at 5:30 Eastern Time.
It will.
Immediately following Glenn's show. Isn't there a special show? Like a very special Glenn Beck episode.
It is. He's looking at what he says is the greatest president in the 20th century. People would say, oh, Ronald Reagan?
No.
No. The big man, Calvin Coolidge. I look back as we come up to President's Day here.
I don't think it's even close. Between who's
better?
Who's better?
Coolidge is really impressive.
Really impressive.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Stu for Glenn, who is out with the flu today. 888-727 Beck. Of course, Mike Pence seems to be out of his mind. Mike Pence, apparently, if you're to believe Omarosa, who, and why wouldn't you believe her? Because, you know, everything she says, I'm sure, is completely legitimate. He thinks Jesus talks to him. What? What a maroon. What are you? Wow. Is he hearing voices in his head? Is that what it is?
I would say, I mean, look,
there are certain names you could put in this category, but I would say Omarosa, number one religious expert in America.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
She might be number two. You might be able to put someone ahead of her, but I don't think so. I think I'd put her as the number one religious expert in America.
So Mike Pence, A, won't have dinner with other women alone.
Amazing.
What an idiot on that, especially in this environment with the sexual harassment and all that going on. And then he thinks deity speaks to him?
You believe this guy?
I can't believe this guy. I don't even know how he's walking around the streets of our cities without being in chains. You know, first of all, we need to put him somewhere in like a padded room, you know, so he doesn't hurt himself to begin with or others. It's gotten to the point now, really, where you can't say you get, I don't know, you pray and you listen for answers and you're guided by the spirit or God. That's a point of ridicule now.
Yeah, it used to be something you almost had to say as a politician. Even if you didn't believe it, you had to say that you prayed and listened to God for answers. Now, it's just the idea of it is mockable, apparently. That's it's important to note these movements that we have.
And let's not forget what it was Nancy Pelosi said a few years ago.
They ask me all the time, what is your favorite this? What is your favorite that?
What is your favorite
that? And at one time, what is your favorite word? And I said, my favorite word.
That's easy. That's so easy.
My favorite word is the word.
Is the word.
Which word?
Is actually two words.
And also, which word are you,
by the way, well,
referring
the word.
To?
The word.
And that is everything. Says it all.
So the word is everything?
Word is everything.
And you know the biblical reference. You know the gospel reference.
Okay. So a person like Nancy Pelosi can make references to the word of God. And yes, that's written, but you can't also believe in inspiration, I guess, if you're a Republican.
No.
Nobody mocked, well, except for us. Nancy Pelosi on the word stuff.
No. We got a lot of mileage out of it, but not it wasn't widespread per se.
It wasn't. The mainstream media didn't go off on that at all. They were fine with it.
Yeah, it's very true. Do we have the audio? I think we do, of the Omarosa thing with Mike Pence, kind of to hear her actual comments, because she's been Trump has done a lot of really good things. Bringing Omarosa into the White House was not one of them. Here's the quote from Omarosa.
As bad as y'all think Trump is, you would be worried about Pence. I'm just going to say that.
I know.
So everybody that's wishing for impeachment might want to reconsider their life.
Absolutely.
We would be begging for days of Trump back if Pence became president. That's all I'm saying. He's extreme. I'm Christian. I love Jesus. But he thinks Jesus tells him to say things. I'm like, Jesus, I say that.
That's despicable to me.
Yeah.
Oh, you love Jesus, but you don't think that he whispers to people, that he helps people in their lives, he guides and directs? You don't believe that? I don't know. It's just, it's lunacy that we... Why is Omarosa even being listened to?
Well, because she was put in the White House, right?
Yeah.
She would not be being listened to if she was not given a position in the White House and paid the maximum salary allowed there. Now, look, she is gone now. She's on Celebrity Big Brother or Regular Big Brother.
Celebrity Big Brother.
It's a really, really interesting usage of the word celebrity. But yes, she's a Celebrity Big Brother candidate. And I guess now it's funny because these journalists... remember the Big Brother when it started, that stupid, you know, the show. And it's, if you don't know the show, it's basically they got a bunch of cameras in a house and people are watching all the time. And at one point they converted it to this 24/7 live stream. So you can tune in at any time during the day and watch the show. It's just on all the time. And then they edit it for television, I guess. So that you get a version of it on television that's more packaged, but you can actually just tune into a live stream of this house at any point.
Wow.
So now these journalists...
Until she was on it, I didn't even know it was on anymore.
I didn't know either. I mean, I thought it was over a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently it's still on, and they actually just air footage throughout the... You could just log on and watch it at any point. So these journalists who are obsessed with coming up with little nuggets about how evil Trump or Pence or whoever is are having to sit and just follow Omarosa around the house waiting for her to say something. And they have to kind of monitor it 24 hours a day, which is really irritating them and is the only reason to make you smile in the story. But the there's another part of this, which is Omarosa and Piers Morgan are now in a battle. Now, Piers Morgan, you may remember.
I want to know when Piers Morgan became a conservative, too. When did that happen?
I don't think he is. I think he just likes Trump.
he does.
I think he just is friends with Trump.
He more than likes Trump. He loves Trump, and he defends everything he does.
Yeah.
Which is great, but it's just disconcerting because I'm not used to it.
It seems so disingenuous, too. I mean,
yes.
I think he's friendly with Trump. He was on Celebrity Apprentice.
Right.
They have a relationship that goes back a few years. So he's been defending Trump.
He's been very loyal. He really has.
He has been. Even when it's been like when Trump has said really conservative things, he's defended him on those conservative things.
Yeah.
Which shows you that Piers Morgan, there's no value in anything he says.
Right.
Right. Which is why I hesitate to bring this story up at all. But Piers Morgan has written a story in the Daily Mail about his relationship with Omarosa on the show when they were there. He says he met.
Because they were both on
Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
With Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They met and he was aware of who she was because of her regular apprentice appearance several years later earlier. Awaiting their first challenge, Piers Morgan says Omarosa came up to him and suggested that they have sex. Quote, then we can make lots of money out of it. Now, it's impossible for me to find a story with two people that are less likable than these two.
Mm-hmm.
But he says Omarosa said to him that we need to have sex and then we can make lots of money out of it. He looked back at her and laughed. You must be joking, you deluded woman. She didn't take it well. She said, quote, what are you, gay? Omarosa came up to him later on. It said, do you want a showmance? You know, a romance on the show, and that's how they can make all their money out of it. Now, after this, he apparently said no to her sexual advances, she got very angry with him.
Is that because he's a racist? Did he turn her down because he's a racist?
No, she went a different direction. First of
did
all,
she?
Yeah, she said because Piers was separated from his ex-wife and a mother, the mother of three of his four children. Omarosa kept taunting him with things like, the mother of your children hates you, Piers. And your effing children hate you. They're embarrassed by you. Is there another man raising your children? Then another occasion in front of Lennox Lewis, the former heavyweight champion, she said, hey, Piers, I heard you got caught having relations with a gay waiter in a hotel pool. Piers says this was a lie. He says he's not gay, and he hadn't heard that. She hadn't actually heard that rumor. She was just making it up. Eventually, apparently on record, Omarosa told Donald Trump that I think Piers is in the closet. She called him an effing F word that describes gays.
Mm-hmm.
Said he'd been caught giving oral pleasures to a male in a pool. And
again, that was her making that up entirely.
That's what Piers says. Yes.
Okay.
Now Trump responded, said, you're calling Piers a homosexual. I don't think you know him very well. And then Piers's response was to come in and to kiss Trace Adkins, and say, quote, I've always loved a beautiful cowboy. And everyone laughed.
Okay. All right.
I just want to, again,
that's why that was such a good show, right? I mean,
I guess it was.
Sorry I missed that episode.
I will say it doesn't seem like a place I would recruit members for the White House, though.
Yeah, right.
And I think the Omarosa thing, and you're seeing this, she's obviously trashing people. She's trashed Trump a little bit. She's trashed Pence. She's threatened Kelly. She's been telling people that there was racism involved in the White House, that she's going to come out with it all. And then, can you imagine a less serious thing to do than to leave the White House in it's supposedly an official, actual position where you're doing work, which no one in the White House can seem to detect what she actually did. But, and then go immediately, within weeks, to Celebrity Big Brother. I mean, she's always been about herself. That was her character on the show. Yeah. She was all about herself.
Yeah.
And why Trump decided to reward her, I guess, loyalty strange. With this position is strange. But I think for all parties involved, it's good that she's out of the White House.
No doubt about that.
And no, Pierce.
No doubt about that.
It's a whole other thing.
Ugh. The Pierce story is interesting. It's I can't get used to it. I can't get used to his defense of a Republican. I never believed that would happen.
But remember, he used to do shows every day about how evil guns were.
Uh-huh.
And every day on CNN. And he would have a worse... Seemingly, he would sit at home all day and try to develop a worse argument than the day before. Yeah. It was like...
And somehow he managed it, too.
And he did it every night. It was pretty amazing.
It was. Somebody who's still at the White House, though, and is under fire now, again, is Kellyanne Conway. For her comments about Hope Hicks and her relationship with Rob Porter.
Yeah,
apparently they're dating now.
Yeah,
right?
I guess they're together, or they it's fairly recent that came out. And I think that was kind of the thing that caused this controversy to kind of pop up, because she was spotted with him at one point. Someone took pictures, then people started looking into Porter, because Hope Hicks is sort of this character that, you know, people love to investigate. She's not, you know, one of the things she does, and I think really well, is she does not make the story about her. She's one of the only people in that White House, especially the early White House, that didn't want the press attention, right? She wants to do a job for the president, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to be doing when you're in the White House. And people like Steve Bannon wanted to do a job for Steve Bannon, right? And Omarosa wanted to do a job for Omarosa. Hope seems to actually want to do a job for Donald Trump, okay? Help the presidency, help it accomplish the goals that it has. So people want to take her down because she's one of the only effective people in the White House, at least at times it's been that way. So they went after her relationship and started looking into it. These accusations came out, and they were serious accusations. Kellyanne Conway, and look, beyond accusations, there seems to be pretty significant evidence that these things are accurate, that Rob Porter did these things, which is hard to believe. Remember, Porter is a guy, he's not just some guy. He came from Orrin Hatch's office. He's been a guy who's been a mainstay in Republican politics for a while. It's not like just some guy they picked up off the street. It's surprising that this stuff wouldn't have come out previously. And I can understand the White House thinking, if he worked for Orrin Hatch for all these years, we're not going to find any skeletons in the closet. Well, they found skeletons in the closet and pictures of the skeletons in the closet, and they're not pretty. So serious accusations that needs to be said. However, I think there's a way that this has been talked about with the Kellyanne Conway thing, where we just constantly just jump to the worst possible way to translate a story because we want to be outraged and we want to go further. Here are the comments that are so controversial from Kellyanne Conway. This is this weekend.
Are you worried at all about Hope Hicks?
Well, I'm very close to Hope Hicks, and I don't worry about her in that respect. I'm sorry for any suffering that this woman has endured. But in the case of Hope, I've rarely met somebody so strong with such excellent instincts and loyalty and smarts. I didn't have the presence of mind and the professional capabilities at her age that I see in her every single day.
She's definitely strong, but strong women get abused too. It's not just weak women.
Oh, many women get abused, no question. And let me agree with you on that. There's a stigma of silence surrounding all of these issues, again, whether it's drug abuse, child abuse, certainly intimate partner and spousal abuse, there's no question that it knows no demographic or geographic balance. Right. No question, Jake. So let's put that there.
This is unbelievable. The way that was translated by the media was that Kellyanne Conway was blaming the victims of the abuse because they weren't strong enough.
That is nowhere near what she was just saying.
Nowhere near what she was saying. First of all, let's be honest about it. What she's trying to do is navigate an impossibly awkward situation where her friend is dating this person.
Nothing she could say would have been right there.
Nothing can solve that. She's trying to say something nice about her friend.
Yep.
Her coworker. That's all she's doing there. She's not saying that people who were abused by this guy were weak and that was the cause of it. First of all, she gives additional explanations like excellent instincts. Right. Again, saying that, you know, I think she's trying to say if she felt that something like this was going to happen, she'd leave. But beyond that, she goes on to profusely agree with Jake Tapper's analysis that strong women get abused, too. And they do. And she admits that and says it multiple times and says that there's no limitation, that anyone can be a victim of it. She goes over and over and over again. And this has become a controversy, as if Kellyanne Conway was blaming the women for being abused because they weren't strong enough. Now, no one who's made that point, I don't think, believes Kellyanne Conway thinks that. Nobody thinks Kellyanne Conway's going, you know what, if she was just strong enough, she wouldn't have been able to been hit. That has nothing to do with it. And everyone knows that. But because they can't stand Trump, they go to any lengths to vilify somebody from the administration who's doing nothing but saying, trying to say something positive in an impossible situation. She's just saying, look, my close coworker is dating this person. She's got to make up her own decisions, right? She's an adult. She has to make her own decisions. It's not my business.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's very strong and has great instincts. You know, I what is she supposed to do in that spot? There's nothing they would have been okay with.
Nothing she would have said would have been okay.
Including
nothing.
The fact that she agreed with Jake Tapper's analysis that it's not about strength. She actually said it. And they still called her out on it. There's nothing you can do in those situations.
Yeah. 888-727 Beck. We also have some interesting stuff developing with Shaun White, three-time gold medal winner. We'll talk about that coming up.
With volatility in the stock market and the swings in Bitcoin, which are wild, there's the constant turmoil in Washington. You may not have known that gold just came off the best year it's had since 2010. And gold is up over $100 since mid-December. Lots of room to run as well. Gold has been a safe haven for centuries. You know that. It performs well in times of volatility. This is where people, when things start getting uneasy, and we've seen the stock market really drop and go up and down like crazy lately, when that volatility goes up, people go into gold. If you've done the speculating in crypto, maybe you've made some money off of Bitcoin, and you know what? You're looking for a place to put that. Maybe you should consider gold. Gold isn't an all-in strategy. It's here to help you spread out risk, diversify, and be part of a smart long-term investment strategy. And as a reminder, Goldline is great. They're under new ownership with even better pricing and the same great service. We've loved Goldline for a long time. This is the place that I bought my gold. It's where Glenn buys his. Glenn Beck listeners only, to help celebrate the Winter Olympics, Goldline is giving away an officially licensed Team USA Olympic 1 ounce silver round on your next purchase. Pretty cool. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 866-GOLDLINE. Ask how you can get this special. Call now, 866-GOLDLINE, 866-GOLDLINE.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Stu for Glenn, who is sick today. Did you hear the air quotes?
I did hear an air quote. Even though I can see you, I heard the air quotes.
He's
sick
today. Interesting. On, I don't know, Valentine's Day, when he admitted that he had nothing planned.
Yeah. Let's be honest about it. He talked about 1-800-Flowers all week and then forgot to order.
Right.
And so now he's screwed.
Yeah.
He can't get a reservation anywhere.
And he's got to do something.
So what do? You fake an illness and you stay home.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And now Tanya's going to be like taking care
of
him.
Honey, I've got flu. I'm sick.
Right.
I'm sick. I can't. I wish I, because I had a huge thing planned. And now maybe we could do it this weekend. This weekend. That's what you do.
Only when I feel better, though. Because
right.
I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now, I don't feel okay.
As for me, I think the love that my wife and I have for one another has transcended Valentine's Day. That's what I've come to believe. So, I believe our love has transcended Valentine's Day.
So you,
it would demean our relationship to do something, you know, superficial on this day just because it's February 14th.
So basically, you know what I mean? You also didn't get her anything.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is our love is too big to demean it in this way.
It would be demeaning it to do something nice for her on Valentine's Day.
It would love. It would cheapen everything we have together.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an interesting perspective. Mm-hmm.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
The economy is doing pretty good these days, and it's kind of nice. So some people actually have a little bit of extra money for the first time in years. I know when we first moved into our new house down here in Texas, everything's bigger in Texas. You know, for the same amount of money, you can get a lot more house. And we had some furniture needs. Lisa decided that we needed to get some new stuff for the new rooms. And look, I understand that, but I really don't want to spend lots of money doing it. However, I don't want to get crap in the house either. That's why about half of our house is furnished with Overstock.com stuff. Because Overstock.com, it sounds like, oh, okay, these are like the products that other stores couldn't sell and they kind of just gave them to Overstock and they're selling them cheaply. No, that's not what Overstock is. It's brand new stuff and you get it for Overstock prices. For this week only, enjoy their President's Day sale. It's the same great styles and thousands of deals up to 70% off with free shipping on orders over $45. Use the offer code BECK and get an additional 10% off. It's Overstock's President's Day sale going on now only at Overstock.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Because this is what has to be now. Immediately after Shaun White won his third gold medal last night, the accusations started to fly, or the reminders. I guess it's been out there for a little while that he's been accused of sexual harassment. And so it came up immediately. He said, I don't want to talk about it. I'm kind of here to do the Olympics right now. And he's under fire because of the way he handled this and because of the allegation against him. And I think we have the audio. Here's Shaun White.
Honestly, here to talk about the Olympics, not, you know, gossip. So, I don't think so. I am who I am, and I'm proud of who I am, and my friends, you know, love me and vouch for me, and I think that's stands on its own. So,
absolutely.
You're saying that absolutely. The allegations against you are gossip?
I think we're here to talk about the gold medal and the amazing day we had today. Thank you. So if we don't have another question, why don't we go ahead and just pass the mic?
It's an amazing standard we've hit with this, in that you can't even say you didn't do the thing.
Right.
Like, that's not an acceptable response. The only acceptable response is to feel for the person accusing you.
It's to immediately apologize, whether you apparently did it or not.
Right.
You got to apologize.
That's a tad strange, is it not? Because if you didn't do anything, what are you apologizing for if you didn't do anything?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. But they jumped all over him for calling it gossip because supposedly there's a settlement of some kind. Now, did he do all the things that he's accused of? For one thing, he is accused of repeatedly sexually harassing her. This drummer in his band, he's got a band on the side called Bad Things. She was the drummer in his band for a while, for about 7 years, I think. So the quote is, repeatedly sexually harassed her and forced his authoritarian management style on her.
That's not okay. Not okay to be an authoritarian manager.
Management style. But here's the thing. Leave the band. If you don't like his authoritarian management style,
yes,
can't you leave the band and find a different one?
On that part of it, yes.
Yes.
Sexual harassment.
Right.
You know,
the other thing is
a totally other thing.
Yeah. I don't buy the, well, he was in a power position.
Yeah.
Well, shut up.
He ran the thing.
Get out. Get away from the hassle.
From the business perspective side of it, completely, right? Like,
yes.
If someone, everybody's had a boss. I mean, you know, usually I have one that's sitting in your seat most days, mm-hmm. that is really irritating to work for, obviously. So that part of it is, mm-hmm. yeah, you're right. Like, sometimes you have to leave. There's this big lawsuit going on with Vice right now. In which one of the accusations is, and again, this is just focusing on this one part of it, is, you know, a woman said she got hired for like $35,000 a year, and another writer got hired, it was a guy, for $45,000 a year, and sometimes even more than that, and it's the same job. Why am I getting paid less? Well, again, that is the type of thing that you, if you believe your female genitals are the reason why, I guess you can go out and have all the lawsuits you want. However, this company would be morons mm-hmm. for, because you could go to another, if you're really worth $45,000 like you, or $55,000 like you believe you were, you could go to another company and make that, right? Like, that is a, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you want to maximize the amount of money you made? And in addition to that, it means Vice would probably fail.
If Vice was dumb enough to say, you know what? I only want guys here. I only want guys with people with this sort of genitals working for me, and I'm going to pay them 50% more. That's how companies will go out of business.
That's a bad
Nobody
business
would do that.
Plan.
It's stupid. Why yeah. would anyone do that? This is, goes back to, you know, why men earn more. The guy, there's a guy, we've talked about him before. He was in the New York National Organization of Women. He was the director of the National Organization of Women in New York City. And he decided, he saw all the propaganda about, hey, you know, women earn, at that time, it was like 60 cents on the dollar or whatever it was, than men. And he, a pretty smart observation, was like, hey, this is great. I can just go get women and hire them for 60% of the cost and make a lot of money. So he started looking into that and did that with his own company. And what he found was that it didn't work at all because women had different priorities than men. There were a lot of reasons that explained that wage gap, which is a lot smaller now. But still, the wage gap, it wasn't real. It was because of education. It was because of time served. It was because of men who wanted to do more dangerous jobs than women did. Men were more likely to leave for 3 months to go work on an oil rig in the middle of crazy part of the ocean than women were. And so men's, you just averaging out salaries made no difference at all. And so there's that part of it. There's part of it here that, like, if you're talking about authoritarian management style, who knows what that actually means? But generally speaking, that's a good reason to go work for somebody else. Sexual harassment, you should not be sexually harassed and have to leave, right?
Yeah,
understand that.
If he sends sexually explicit and graphic images, as she says, then that's despicable.
You can't do that.
And that's indefensible. Now, his attorney says the allegations lack merit. So they're kind of denying that he did that. Right. So I don't know. I haven't seen the evidence one way or the other. But just the accusation now is enough. I mean, people will be yelling about it, stripping him of his gold medal, I'm sure. You can't function in society anymore just from the accusation.
I am dying to see this moment in the middle of the Me Too movement, which is this. Someone's on TV with someone who talking about somebody who's been sexually harassed or there's been an accusation of it. You know, you're talking to whoever the host is, and you say, look, is there anyone in your life, host, that you have not sexually harassed? Is there one member in your life, any female you've worked with in your entire life that you have not sexually harassed? I would assume the answer to that would be yes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So give me that, think of who that person is. Mm-hmm. And think about tomorrow, that person comes out with an accusation of sexual harassment about you. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you have not sexually harassed them at all. There's no merit to it whatsoever. And that person has harassed you. What do you say on television tomorrow? What reasoning, what excuse, what explanation can you possibly give that other hosts would allow you to give without calling you a hater of women? What's the combination of words that you could use to explain that you didn't actually do this, but of course you care about women being sexually harassed?
Yeah.
Because people are being put in this position. Some of them who have been accused have legitimately done these things. We've talked about dozens of them. But if you are wrongfully accused, we are setting up a society that does not allow you to defend yourself, does not allow you to say, as he said, you know, gossip, right? I don't know if his are true or not, but if it were not true, how would he defend himself other than saying, like, look, people are talking about stuff. I don't want to call her a liar because then you're going to get mad at me. I don't want to say that it's not important because then you're going to say, I don't think all women's accusations of sexual harassment are important. So I'm saying it's gossip. Again, an unconfirmed rumor that I'm trying to kind of push off to the side because I didn't do it and I want to talk about my gold medal. Well, even that is not, there's no combination of words that you would find acceptable in this situation. And there has to be. You know, Trump came out with that tweet about due process, which, I mean, he's not talking about constitutional due process. Obviously, he's not, they aren't necessarily being charged with crimes here. But some sort of process to determine whether the person did the thing you're talking about. Like, I don't know what, that should not be crazy. This is from CNN. They're talking about whether Trump is an abuser or not based on this tweet.
This goes beyond partisan politics. Violence against women is a human rights issue. And I want to reiterate my call to GOP and Republican women that it is time to get out. I feel like GOP women are trapped with their abuser, which is Trump.
They're trapped with their abuser. Now, they decided to actually ask Trump voters what they thought of his position when it comes to the sexual allegations. And here's how that went.
Do you think the president's compassion may have been misguided?
I don't think that it means that he doesn't have compassion for women. I think that if you leave something out of a sentence or you leave someone out, it doesn't mean that you're not thinking about them.
I think that we're victimizing the president, if you will, by the sense that every single word, every single tweet that he puts out is being scrutinized to the last molecule. I think what he voiced is valid. Should we take the victims into consideration? Absolutely. But should lives be condemned without due process? Absolutely not.
So despite this tweet, you all do believe that he is a great supporter of women and stands up for women's issues?
Absolutely.
Wow. Sounded pretty unanimous.
It did. And look, people make arguments. He's elevated a lot of women to very powerful positions in the government. Mm-hmm. And he did that in his business as well. That was one of his defenses when these things were coming out. But separately from whether he actually likes women or not, the idea that a person can be accused of something with no process of figuring out whether that accusation is true.
And that's happened
insanity.
Over and over and over and over again.
I don't understand how you could be on the other side of that one. Now, look, with Rob Porter, there is a picture. There is a, he's still denying it, but there is a picture of a woman with a black eye. He's giving kind of a weird explanation of how it happened. At least mm-hmm. there's a reason to have some skepticism over his denial, right? There were police reports and stuff like that. To me, and again, this is me, you're guessing, right? We weren't there. But to me, it seems like something really bad happened on multiple occasions. And it was a real problem. So, mm-hmm. but again, I'm judging that I've never met either of these people. I don't know anything about it. Now, Donald Trump has spent months with this guy, and he's found him to be a trustworthy, good guy, as he even defended him after the accusations came out. So he's dealing with more information than I have, or that any of these journalists have, right? Because he's spent a lot of time with them, and that's mm-hmm. that's part of this. You know, maybe he is misjudging this person based on a personal relationship. But that's information that he's had over and gained over a year. The issue here is not about Rob Porter, who, I mean, look, they fired him, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they let him resign.
Yeah, he resigned.
Technically, he resigned. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they pushed him out because they saw these pictures and they realized how bad it was. And this is something that happens with human beings. I mean, the Ray Rice thing is a good example of it. The NFL, suspended him for a couple of games until the video came out. When you start seeing photos and you realize that the real nature of these things, and it's not, it goes from a legalese word on a piece of paper into a photo, it really brings it home, and that's okay.
He actually claims he took the photo in question. The one that happened when they were on vacation in Florence.
Wow. I didn't hear that part of it.
Now, she says she took the photograph of herself with a black eye, but Mr. Porter, according to the story, says, first of all, the images are misleading. I took the photos given to the media nearly 15 years ago, and the reality behind them is nowhere close to what's being described. I don't know what that means.
He said something about, like, you know, she may have been hit with a glass of some sort.
Did he throw it at her?
I don't think that's what his defense was. No, I don't.
Okay, she was hit with a glass.
I don't know.
In the eye.
Here's what I would say about this. Again, my belief is mm-hmm. that this actually happened and it's really bad. So to set that straight. But we also have to acknowledge that at some point, something like this will happen. And the person who is accused will not
innocent.
Have done it. And he has that person has no way of defending themselves, because every excuse from, I didn't do this, what are you talking about, to, you know what, I just want to make sure that I understand that everyone understands how I feel about women, and that is that they're great. There's everything in between there, all of it is off limits. Mm-hmm. All of it is some crazy excuse. And it's like, if you didn't actually do it, what would you say? You've taken all of the words and made them all disallowed. And that can't mm-hmm. be the way we do this
the
either.
The only acceptable thing is I support her accusations.
But if you do, right.
You know,
but then your life's over too.
Right. Right, but that's the only acceptable thing you can say, and then you're just out of your job.
That was the Louis C.K. approach. Now, Louis C.K., if you remember this one, he did things to himself in the room with women.
With their permission.
He says he never did anything without their permission.
Yeah.
And their response to that was, well, but he was a powerful comedian. He had power over us.
Sorry, I don't buy
and
that.
And we had nothing we could
do. I don't buy that power thing.
Right.
The power dynamic.
But yeah, but you know who does buy it? Apparently, Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Because Louis C.K. in his statement basically said, you know what? I should have never done those things because I was famous and even though they agreed, I still shouldn't have done it because I should have known they couldn't say no because I was admired by them, was the way he put it. And it's like,
wow.
Well, even that, which is like the most over the top conciliatory way of talking about this. Even that was rejected, and we haven't heard a word from the guy since. So there is like literally no combination of words that you can say that apparently is okay, even as a defense. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. More on this coming up in just a minute. We've been talking to you for a while about LifeLock. 1 in 4 have experienced identity theft. Now, 1 in 4 is a high number, but guess what? That's getting a lot worse. You think it's only going to stop at 25% with the way our data, you know, our data economy is operating? It's not. LifeLock can help you detect these threats and protect your identity because if you're just monitoring your credit, that's not enough. Christian is a sound engineer who joined LifeLock in 2014. He said, from my perspective, I know my information's out there. I don't like it, but it's the reality of the situation. After receiving an alert from LifeLock, he learned that 5 cell phone accounts and a department store credit card were opened in his name. He called LifeLock. They said, sit back, relax, we'll take care of it, and they did. Now he's a member for life. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But you don't have to deal with identity theft on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code BECK. It's BECK for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now. Use the promo code BECK.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
There's a... an article in New York Times Magazine with an interesting proposition. This simple concept. Let's ban porn. Let's just, if porn is harmful to kids and to others and to relationships, as so many people think it is, let's just ban it then. Would you be in favor of that? Free speech issues that brings up, are they outweighed by the harm that's being done? Get into that coming up. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Stu for Glenn, who is down with the flu today, 888-727-BECK. Although it is, you know, Valentine's Day, so that may have something to do with it, because he was unprepared.
Yeah, bottom line is he didn't prepare. He didn't get Tanya anything.
Mm-hmm.
Decided, hey, what if I fake an illness?
Yeah.
That way I can get out of work, and I don't have to do anything for dinner, and then I can just say, I reschedule those reservations to the nice, perfect restaurant for a day that there just doesn't happen to be a crowd there.
Yeah, since it's virtually impossible to get restaurant reservations at a nice place now. I mean, it's over. It's too late.
It's too late.
Yeah.
You know, 1-800-Flowers, you could have ordered yesterday or the day before, but Glenn didn't do that. He told you to do it, but he probably forgot.
Mm-hmm.
So now what does he have? Nothing.
Nothing. And so all of a sudden, I'm sick. Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Sure. No, of course. All right. Of course that happened.
Got some interesting school issues that have arisen again. One is in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex in an ISD, an independent school district called Birdville. They have disciplined a teacher for handing out a questionnaire to 6th grade students. So these kids are 12 years old, 11 and 12. Asked them to rank their level of comfort with people of different races, ethnicities, and sexual orientation. The How Comfortable Am I questionnaire was distributed to one class at North Richmond Middle School on February 7th. And one of the parents said she was shocked when her 12-year-old son came home and showed her the questionnaire. I wasn't quite ready for my son to be exposed to these type of things. It's things like statements, how do you feel, and rank them on a range of 1 to 4. 1 being I'm not comfortable at all, 4 being I'm completely comfortable with this. A friend invites you to a gay bar. At 12 years old, how comfortable are you with that?
Well, I first of all would be breaking the law by entering yeah. a bar yeah. under the age of drinking, mm-hmm. but I would be incredibly comfortable.
Incredibly comfortable.
That's the only way to answer that.
What's wrong with that? Nothing, right? Other than he's underage.
Because it's interesting because, a lot of gay people go to, there's not such a thing as a straight bar, right? But a bar mm-hmm. that's not a gay bar. But I wouldn't say it's overwhelmingly common for a straight person to attend a gay bar.
Right.
It does seem yeah. like when you put the sexual orientation of the people you're choosing to enter mm-hmm. in kind of the title of the bar, maybe the people who don't have that sexual orientation might not want to go in. Or it might not be their first choice.
And yet you're supposed to still be comfortable with it, I guess, right? Isn't that the point of a questionnaire like this? You should still be comfortable with it. Well, I'm not gay, and not that I... they let them do what they want. I just don't want to go in there because that's not my sexual orientation. I would more likely go to a non-gay bar.
I would think, and I'm speculating a tad here, mm-hmm. but if maybe one of our gay listeners could call in on this topic. Okay. I would be right. interested mm-hmm. to know, as a gay man, gay journalist, if you're a gay man mm-hmm. and you go to a gay bar, are you happy if a straight man is there? Because to me... I would think if I'm going to a gay bar...
It limits your opportunity.
And also, might mislead you, right?
Yeah,
you might be thinking, right. Oh, I assume... Mm. I walked into a gay bar. I assume, 90% of the people here are also gay? It's a
or
gay
more.
Bar. Mm-hmm. Maybe more. Maybe 100% is what you're hoping for. And mm-hmm. if there's a straight guy who's there because, he's trying to show how tolerant and woke he is, I think that would be kind of annoying mm-hmm. as a gay guy.
I think so, too.
I'd rather know that I don't have to go up and figure out whether this person is straight or gay as you would at another bar.
Well, let's be honest. You go to a bar normally to meet somebody to start a relationship with,
it's at least
right?
Part of the reason. It's particularly
you can drink at home, so you're at the... You're at the bar
yeah, that's
to
not
meet
legal.
Somebody.
It is legal. Not all the time. I mean, I've gone to bars without wanting to meet people. I mean, it's a fun environment. You're watching, you're hanging
well,
out.
Well, yeah,
people.
you could be right. watching a football game or.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot, but yes, if you're going
figure
to a,
skating,
you'd think if you're going to a gay bar
mm-hmm.
that.
You're looking for
right,
gay people to hang out
gay
with.
Gay people to hang out with. That doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. mean you're looking to start a relationship, but that's certainly implied and
yeah.
would be
a
high percentage play.
Okay,
I'd say
so. To a 12-year-old person in elementary school, strange question,
right? Because again, it would be illegal for them to enter the building, so
yes.
they should feel completely
uncomfortable with it. Here's the next question: your sister invites her new boyfriend to dinner, but he is a female to male transsexual. How comfortable are you with that?
First of all, is transsexual okay? Is that even the term?
I would say
transgendered.
Transgender, right.
Transsexual
well,
is an old term.
Well, you're transsexual if you've actually had... Is this right? That you've actually had the
whatever
surgery?
I don't know what you're about to say, but whatever you're about to say is definitely not right. It can't be right because it's coming out of your mouth.
Right.
Is this okay? It's never okay after you say, is this okay? That's a rule.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So those are the types of questions. Would you have a problem with that with your kids being asked?
So if your sister brings over a male
to female transsexual,
yeah. would you
so
be
this is a person who used to be female, now is apparently male, and they brought him to dinner.
It's an interesting question to ask a sixth grader,
isn't it?
Seems like
any of these sexual orientation questions with a sixth grader, with a 12-year-old, to me, stop it. Don't you first of all, what does the school have to do with any of this?
Yeah.
Teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's what I want you to do. And I want you to leave the social justice nonsense to me. Okay? I'll teach them that.
You'll teach them the social justice nonsense.
If I deem it appropriate.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
I'd be livid. And apparently a lot of these parents were because, it's in Texas and people still get livid about their children being asked sexual questions like this. And actually, the teacher involved was disciplined. It doesn't necessarily spell out what the discipline was, but they didn't elaborate on it, but they do say that she was in fact disciplined. A middle school teacher in Florida got fired last year for doing the same questionnaire. So apparently this is making the rounds in schools across America.
Yeah, and probably not a good idea, particularly at that level. I mean, I don't know that I want it at any level.
Want it at school at all.
Right. I mean, now if you go to a very liberal college, you send your kids there and you want to, you know, have them in, you know, mm-hmm. investigate their gender identity, that's, you know, totally.
And they're in sociology class or whatever.
Choice. When you're going to a public school, I mean, even if you went to a private, if you as a parent, Pat, chose to send your kid to a social justice private school, that would be something that would be expected there. When you're talking about a public school that you're paying for with your tax dollars, that's supposed to be teaching your kids the basics of learning, it's obviously not appropriate. But this is just, I mean, like the schools in general are getting stranger and stranger. They're not talking about banning the idea of having a best friend. So because if you have a best friend, that means you're saying to others,
they're not their
best friends, which is...
That's exclusive. It is not inclusive.
That's a big problem. This is up on the blaze.com right now. And apparently this is something they actually believe is an issue. Now, look, obviously when you're a kid, you're very sensitive to who's your best friend. I mean, did you, when you were a kid, did you have like an internal list of who you're... I used to have my top three friends list in my head.
Definitely.
You know, like that is, you kind of do that when you're a kid. It's kind of, it's sort of a natural thing. It's not something necessarily I would want schools to encourage, right? Like I wouldn't necessarily say, hey, let's give your give me your list of your top three friends. I wouldn't say that would necessarily be appropriate either. But this is happening in America and Europe. It's up on the blaze. They discourage students from having best friends. This is the school in New York City. And they are considering banning best friends with the enthusiastic support of education experts. This is why my kids go to private school, by the way. This is why you do it, right? Mm-hmm. Your kids were homeschooled for most of their lives,
right.
And you're a big fan of homeschooling. And, you know, like, I just don't want the experimentation on my kids. You know, I feel like there's this idea that, you know what, we think that this is an important thing. Let's try it on these kids. I don't want to be the parent who sends their kids into that environment where they're the gerbil. Right? Like, I don't want my kid to be the poor field mouse that's getting needles put into it with whatever experiment the government thinks is a good idea this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather avoid that if it's at all possible. Clinical psychologist Dr. Barbara Greenberg told WCBS that the idea is catching on in schools. According to Greenberg, there has been a movement in some American schools and European schools to ban the phrase best friend, which is interesting because... Can a government institution ban words? I'm going to go with no.
No.
There's not really a basis for that, but the idea of banning the phrase best friends is a very intriguing social experiment. They actually use the freaking word. Don't experiment on my children, please. Greenberg acknowledged that simply banning the phrase won't stop children from having close relationships, but might encourage kids to be more inclusive in their friendships. I see kids come in all week who are feeling dreadful because they are excluded and because they are either nobody's best friend or their best friend has moved on.
So if this doesn't work, then the next step is to ban best friends, right? And to force kids to hang out with other kids. Isn't that the natural progression of this movement? Okay, not only can you not say that that's your best friend, you can't even hang out with your best friend now because we want you to be more inclusive. You got to hang out with this kid over here. I could see them experimenting with that too.
100%. Because that is what this, apparently what education has become, one giant social experiment. And it's not what it's not why I wanted to go to school. It's not why it's not what the reason I think that school exists. Get my kids to a learning level, get them as smart as they can to be able to figure out how to think and then let them figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
Along with their parents, their faith, their friends, their relatives. You know, I think what we've lost here is the idea of school as part of the process. School is a chunk of what kids gain as they grow up.
Instead, we say that needs to be all. They need to do all of it. Instead of saying like, okay, well, let's fill in reading, writing, arithmetic, the basics, and then let their culture and their parents and their friends and their relatives
fill in the rest.
The gaps, the belief system, right? Yeah.
Teach them to read.
Yeah.
And teach them to do math.
Get them the basics.
Because, and teach them history.
Because, you know, look, can parents teach kids to read? Absolutely. But it's a time-consuming process. They have to work. There's reasons why we have schools. But the idea that we're supposed to fill in everything from, you know, every sexual thought that they might have has
and whether
to be
or not they
school.
Should be comfortable being invited to a gay bar at 12 years old doesn't have any place at school.
No, zero. That is something that could, I mean, first of all, we've outlawed as a society. Bars have I mean, I guess you can go to a bar at Chili's at any age, but I mean, a lot of states have rules that you can't even sit. I used to work at a Chili's back in the day, and where I worked, you couldn't sit kids at the bar. Like they could be at a table and their parents could order drinks, but they couldn't sit at the bar and order food, even if they weren't drinking, because it was against the law. So the idea that you could send a kid into a gay club at 12 years old is, I would say, probably illegal in every single state in the union.
I would guess it is. Yeah.
So yes, you should feel uncomfortable with that. Like, should you feel uncomfortable with speeding? Yes, it's against the law. Now, whether you do or not is another question. But really, it's not something we need to investigate at 6 years old.
And neither is forcing them to expand their horizons with friends. That again, is not a function of the school system at all.
No.
It's none of your business who they're hanging out with, frankly. 888-727-BECK. More coming up in a second.
So I have a car that was, it's a few years old now, and it's past the initial warranty. You got to think about what you're going to do there. Because when you start having these big issues with your car, it can be really expensive. And honestly, at times can be more expensive than a car payment. If you're going to keep a car that's not, you know, necessarily brand new. You know, you want to be saving money. That's why you do it. That's why I have an extended vehicle service protection warranty from CarShield. Now, getting covered by CarShield is a great idea. It's affordable protection that can save you thousands of dollars for a covered repair. A new fuel pump, for example, costs over $500. Replacing a water pump is over $1,000. And if you need repairs to control, all the other stuff that goes on, like they have all these really, really expensive things in your car that I don't understand. My dad worked on cars. So when I was young, he just fixed them all for me. So I learned nothing. I know nothing about cars now. I always have to get them fixed by somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. And luckily, CarShield is there because they can cover you for this stuff. They have plans that even cover your car's computer, GPS, and electronics, and more. CarShield's the ultimate in extended coverage, and they get your favorite mechanic or dealership paid directly, so you don't have to worry about going to their person. You can go to a person that you trust. Sign up today. You're going to get 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is in the shop. Save yourself from high repair bills. Get covered by CarShield like I did before something goes wrong. Call 800-CAR-6100 and mention the code BECK, or visit carshield.com and use the code BECK to save 10%. It's carshield.com, code BECK. A deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Stu for Glenn. He's out with the flu today. 888-727-BECK. Apparently, Trey Gowdy has spoken out on this Rob Porter mess.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting what he had to say. Here it is.
I'm well. Are you troubled by Rob Porter's employment in the White House?
Yes, on two levels. Now, one's the interim security clearance issue, but even more importantly, I spent two decades believing women and children who alleged abuse, even sometimes when no one else did. So whether or not there's a security clearance at issue or not, I have real questions about how someone like this could be considered for employment, whether there's a security clearance or not. So, yeah, I'm troubled by almost every aspect of this.
And so now that we know that, I mean, according to yesterday, Chris Wray's testimony, that they told the White House four times, they gave the White House four different installments of the report, some of them complete, that included the allegations from the ex-wives of violence. So how could he still have a job at the White House?
That's a great question, and one that I can't answer. I didn't hire him. But who knew what, when, and to what extent? Those are the questions that I think ought to be asked. And Congress has a role to play. But quite frankly, So does the public, and so does the media. Who knew what, when, and to what extent? And if you knew it in 2017, and the Bureau briefed him three times, then how in the hell was he still employed? The security clearance is a separate issue. I mean, it's an important issue, but it's separate. How do you have any job if you have credible allegations of domestic abuse? I am biased towards the victim. I spent two decades believing him. But you don't have to be biased towards the victim to ask, how in the hell did this happen?
Wow. I mean, that's not good coming from Trey Gowdy, a Republican. Some pretty solid points there.
Yeah.
How were you hired in the first place? When you did the background check, and you should probably know about it then.
Because there's two lines here. The idea that victims should be believed. I mean, and that's a weird statement to come from a prosecutor, right? Like a guy who is involved in the legal system.
Yeah, that's not our justice system, by the way.
Our justice system doesn't work like that.
Victims should be taken seriously, but not necessarily believed.
Yeah.
Because
the opposite, right?
It's the opposite.
There should always be skepticism of an allegation because, it's innocent until proven guilty. Proven guilty. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not necessarily talking about the legal standard here, however. And the standard of whether he should be working in the White House is a different one. The standard of what we feel as a generalized public, the court of public opinion, is a much lower standard, right? I mean, we judge things all the time on the left and the right without all the information. But I do think there has to be a process here, some sort of process. It just seems that, like, you know, so far, this does not look good for him. That being said, the fact that Trey Gowdy is out there saying, how the hell was this guy employed? I mean, I honestly think there's a good chance this leads to Kelly leaving. Kelly, I think, has done a good job since he got in there. He just has not handled this one well. It would be interesting to see why that happened, because he's obviously not incompetent. There have been people who have handled things in ways that are really incompetent, and you see the people going after him. All the, you know, the Lewandowskis and the Scaramucci's and all of them are going after Kelly. A lot of them have access to grind with him. But I think generally speaking, he's done a pretty good job for Trump, General Kelly, and he's obviously has a really legitimate, you know, backstory and strong resume and history. It just seems like this one's he did not handle well, maybe from a personal blindness of really liking this guy and not taking the accusation seriously enough early enough.
Seems that's about all it can be.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think, you know, it's not like certainly he's not pro-abuse.
Maybe he believed the guy. Maybe Porter completely denied it, and he's still
and he believed it.
Pretty much denying it, and Kelly believed him.
Yeah, and I think that may very well be what happened here. But because it seemed like Trump had soured on him a little bit anyway, didn't like the control. Yeah. In addition to that, this did not go well. He's getting hammered in the press. He's doubled down on it. He's changed his timelines. He has not handled this incident well, and I think it may cost him his job.
And since Kelly's been in there, he doesn't like that control, but things have been more normal.
Approval rating's up.
So it's too bad.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
I have the same pattern every year. I start off the year eating pretty good and maybe dropping a few pounds from the holidays, and then Super Bowl comes around and I blow it all over again. It's kind of a planned part of my life, to be honest about it. But Riduzone is helping me bounce back this time. Usually it takes me a month or so to actually bounce back from the Super Bowl. Not this year. I'm bouncing back now. I've lost what, 10 pounds since the beginning of the year, 12 pounds, something like that. Riduzone helps because it helps, you know, curb your cravings. It helps your metabolism speed up. And it is a great idea for you if you are doing the same thing that I'm doing, trying to drop a few pounds and get back into a little bit of shape. Riduzone.com is the place to go for this. Riduzone.com. You're going to get 30% off if you use the code STU. There's nothing wrong with getting a little bit of help when you're trying to lose weight. It's hard. And Riduzone can help you. Riduzone.com. Offer code STU. I have the same pattern every year. I start off the year eating pretty good and maybe dropping a few pounds from the holidays, and then Super Bowl comes around and I blow it all over again. It's kind of a planned part of my life, to be honest about it. But Riduzone is helping me bounce back this time. Usually it takes me a month or so to actually bounce back from the Super Bowl. Not this year. I'm bouncing back now. I've lost, what, 10 pounds since the beginning of the year, 12 pounds, something like that. And Riduzone helps because it helps, you know, curb your cravings. It helps your metabolism speed up. And it is a great idea for you if you are doing the same thing that I'm doing, trying to drop a few pounds and get back into a little bit of shape. Riduzone.com is the place to go for this. Riduzone.com. You're going to get 30% off if you use the code STU. There's nothing wrong with getting a little bit of help when you're trying to lose weight. It's hard. And Riduzone can help you. Riduzone.com. Offer code STU.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With me, Pat Gray, where you can listen to my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, coming up in about half an hour on most of this same network. Blaze Radio and TV Network. We'll also, it also features us, Stu, who is here every day.
Yeah.
With Glenn.
I am, and we're together, Pat, on the new show, The News and Why It Matters, airing at 5:30 p.m. tonight.
We're reunited, and it feels so good.
We're reunited
because we understood. You can there's one perfect thing, and honey, this one is it.
You
this
can
is
ask
it.
Questions. Why does Pat always quote song lyrics in the middle of normal conversations?
You can ask.
You can ask that with the hashtag TheBlazeY, WHY, TheBlazeY on Twitter. And I've also
so it's
enjoyed,
not just the letter Y?
No, not the Blazey.
If I use that, it won't get to where it needs to go.
You should check the Blazey too, because I think if I was hearing, I'd be like the Blaze and then the letter Y. But yeah. No, it's the Blaze, WHY. Okay. Also really enjoyed seeing, getting my Jeffy fix on the Doc Thompson program.
Morning, Blaze.
Morning, Blaze.
You seem to be featured prominently.
I come in for a couple of days, Doc. You know, look, Doc needs to be propped up a couple of days a week.
Okay.
So I'm happy to help.
It's been great hearing you there.
it's been fun.
It's been awesome. We wanted to bring you in here because this is the segment that Pat normally comes on and appears on the program. We wanted to bring Jeffy in because we had a story that we thought might relate to you and
it's not the story you guys were talking about bars with Pat Gray.
No,
going to bars no. with Pat Gray.
Or is anyone in tune with the right. nightlife situation around right. town? It's Pat
just
Gray.
Just because I'm such a bar fly. Is that your problem with it?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the few people that think you go to a bar for a relationship.
Yeah. Like he legitimately thinks that's nuts.
You never cease to amaze.
No.
You know, that's great.
So
that's great.
The New York Times has an op-ed from Ross Duttet, who is kind of the conservative, one of the conservative columnists at the New York Times. I would say their biggest, you know, highest profile conservative columnist at the New York Times. And he makes the argument, let's ban porn.
That's a tough argument to make.
For you in particular. Now, here's part of his argument, and it's interesting because I think this is one of those, it's a debate that used to happen a lot, I'd say in the 80s and 90s was on the table, right? And it has not been talked about for a while. I think it's an interesting thing to bring back up and argue. And let me at least give you his case here, Jeff, and you tell me what part of it you oppose, because we all know you're going to oppose it. At one time, the surrender to porn was not inevitable. It was only a generation ago. That the unlikely alliance of feminists and religious conservatives made the regulation of pornography a live political debate. But between the individualistic drift of society, the invention of the internet, the failed predictions that porn would lead to rising rates of rape, the anti-porn case was marginalized. He goes into the Me Too part of this. Wouldn't this be good, is the argument. In many of the Me Too complaints, you see a kind of female revulsion, not against Harvey Weinstein-style predators, but against the very sort of male personality that a pornographic education seems to produce, a breed at once entitled and resentful, angry and undermotivated, shaped by unprecedented possibilities for sexual gratification, and frustrated that real women are less available and more complicated than the version we see on the screen.
He must be looking at different porn than me.
I don't think that he's saying he looks at porn.
Oh, okay.
Jeffy, I think you're misunderstanding. So if you want better men by any standard, there is every reason to regard ubiquitous pornography as an obstacle and to suspect that between virtual reality and creepy forms of customization, its influence is only going to get worse. And we're talking about stuff like, you know, there's this new stuff with artificial intelligence where you can put actresses are putting, they're getting their face put on porn videos so it looks like you're watching Scarlett Johansson in a porn film. And Glenn brought this up the other day, which is, it's going to get weirder than that. Glenn's, of course, always ahead on this technology stuff. He reads it all the time. That it's going to be the woman in your office that you want to ask out and you're too nervous to. You can now put her face in a porn video.
Then you'll never have to ask her out.
How creepy would that be?
Very, very creepy.
Jeffy, did you want to comment?
Well, I'm just saying that I am aware of the fake porn shots.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The fake porn movies, films, whatever you want to call them. Many of the big sites have banned it.
That's true.
They're not taking it. Now, you can still fight it, but as soon as they're aware, they pull it.
Well, I mean, they've got credibility, right?
Thank you.
You know, you don't want to question the credibility of one of the big porn sites.
No, you do not.
Far be it from us.
I find it interesting that we're discussing banning porn on a show that is so concerned with love. Couples loving, caring for each other.
Again, I'm sorry, love and porn have no relationship to one another.
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
I don't know about that.
Let me ask
I know you don't.
Two legitimate, honest questions for you, Jeffy, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
A, should we ban porn? B, could you ban porn? Is there any legitimate way to actually make it happen if you wanted to make it happen?
No. I'll answer first. I mean, I know Pat's answer is going to be, well, you know, we probably should, although no. And I don't think we ever could. It's been around forever, right? I mean, forever, men and women have wanted to.
Yeah, no, they
look at each other.
But to push back on that point a little bit, because I would be with you in that I don't think it should be banned because I don't think you can do that. My personal opinion is
super
much more
harmful
libertarian
to society. Though.
It's really bad.
To society. But you've got the First Amendment going, and you can't. They'll scream First Amendment.
They
and
will. Is that the right thing to scream, though?
It probably is, even though for vices like this, I don't think that's what the founders intended on protecting. But, at this point, it does protect that. And it'd be really hard to overcome that. Would I like to see it banned? Would I like there to be not any porn? Yes. I think that'd be great. I think it'd be helpful to society.
And I guess the
but
line
I don't
here,
think we'll ever. We've gone too far.
And who decides what's
now.
Porn?
Oh God!
You
know it when you see it. Is the way they always say. You can't, right? That's going to be. There's going to be lines on that. But I think the argument here is, I think the argument Ross is making, and he's made it on Twitter as well, as they've gone back and he's had some arguments with libertarians since about this. And his point is, I guess, not necessarily a full out ban. You're not going to stop people from seeing these things, right?
Yeah.
But if you remember how it was, let's say in the 80s, right? You'd have to go to a store staffed by someone like Jeffy. To purchase a tape, you have to park in the parking lot.
You remember that the beads, the curtains, the whatever. You had to cross that line, and you had to make a decision that I'm gonna be the guy who walks through those beads or that curtain, and everybody's gonna see you. Right,
difficult decision.
Right, but I mean, again,
granted, for people like you, it isn't.
But most people didn't. Even now,
most people didn't.
Even now,
right?
If you took it off, if porn was completely available,
it's
but just not a computer,
easy now.
People wouldn't bother doing it,
right?
Because I think the there's a line of like the Jeffy side of life, right, where people are going to walk through any wall, whether it's beaded or if it's concrete, to get to their porn.
Yeah.
Right? We know those people exist.
Yeah.
But there's also a large portion of society who didn't.
Cross the line.
Interact with porn back in those days. Who does now? It's far easier, far more ubiquitous.
Well,
His point is
you're able to just. I mean, it's in your living room,
right? But I don't think you could ban it from.
It's in the comfort and privacy of your own home.
Yeah,
it's one of those things,
and
though.
So
that's
what makes it such a big problem.
I've made this point with Bitcoin before. Like, if governments came out and banned Bitcoin, the Bitcoin people say you can't ban Bitcoin because it's the governments can't stop it, and that's true. You can't. Stop it. However, a guy like me who is interested in cryptocurrency because I think it's an interesting topic and I like following it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, if it's illegal in the country, I'm not walking through the walls of illegality to get to it. And I think most people are in that. If you had to go to BitTorrent to get porn, and that was the only way you could get it by some crazy, shady 4chan, whatever. I don't even know what these things are. But like, it's some shady way of getting it. The average person probably isn't walking through that wall.
No, they're not. they're not going
you
to.
Could probably cut back if you quote unquote banned it, you could cut back probably by 50% 60% of people using it.
It is banned, right? I mean, it's supposed to be just for adults. I mean, I realize that we're you know, we've made it easy to access and it's in anyone can see it, but it is for adults, right? It is illegal for children to possess it.
And of course they still do.
I understand. So let's say we do ban it, right? What, I mean, still going to be, you know, behind, somebody's going to have it. Somebody's going to find a way to go to crypto porn and then bring it outside of crypto porn and say, hey,
they've already started that.
I've got some porn over here for you.
But again, it would be harder, right? It would be more difficult. It would be harder to get rich off of it, right? If you were, you wanted to go into the porn business, and I know this is something you've considered in the past, Jeffy. If you wanted to go into this business, it would be harder to make your millions, right?
Yes.
It would be because you'd have to have everyone jumping through these hoops. Right. Again, I don't support this, but it's an interesting argument. Let me see if I can sell you on this one, though. Okay. Do you remember Melissa King? Miss Delaware Teen USA, back in 2012? Apparently, she had a wonderful birthday, her 18th. And then went on a little trip to a hotel room in which she filmed a film.
Was she there to make a star? Was this from, remember the porn documentary that we watched?
Yes.
How to become a porn star or whatever, same kind of thing?
Right, this is the one that's on Netflix. Yeah, it's a similar situation. Okay. Yeah, she goes, she makes a porn video. She gets paid $1,500. I think a year or two later, she wins Miss Delaware Teen USA. Eventually, she gets her title stripped because they find out she had been making porn. Washington Post asked this question back at the time, which is an interesting one. Is 18 the appropriate age to be making decisions to get into porn? Look, even if you want it to be legal and you think consenting adults can do what they want to do.
Should it at least be 21?
Should it at least be the age where you can go buy a drink in a bar?
Yes.
Where you can be asked to go to a gay bar with your friend?
Yes.
And go. Should it be raised from 18 to 21? Jeff Fisher.
I mean, I'll give you, it should be what we deem an adult. And in many places, 18, we deem an adult, right?
Right. I mean, you can vote at 18.
And so, right. I'm for keeping it at 18, deeming them an adult. You're an adult at 18.
Look how nervous. Why do you look so nervous? he's just screwing around. But still, it's an interesting question. Because, I mean, 18 years old, you could be in high school, right?
Sometimes. Yes. Yeah, sometimes you're not sure.
You'd be a senior.
I mean, it seems to be a questionable line for this particular behavior.
You know, again, in today's world, and I'm using today's world as an example, not that it should be and put any more weight on it, but I mean, those youngsters, I mean, they're taking shots of each other all the time and themselves and trying to show themselves off the time.
Oh, it's a bad
development. It's really bad.
It's a bad development, man.
It's there,
though. You make dumb decisions when you're 18 years old.
I know you do.
You vote for Barack Obama. You make dumb decisions when you're 18 years old. And you wind up regretting them later on.
Well, let's look at the voting age, for instance. That should be raised to 35.
This is a legitimate point,
I know you've been a proponent of that for a while.
Yes, that's a Pat Gray point. The voting age should be raised to 35.
If you can't be president, you shouldn't vote for president. Right? Is essentially your point.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. There's a constitutional.
I'm actually okay with that particular law, to voting at 35, but not as an adult. Ooh, you want to talk kill the porn business.
All right.
We'll leave it there, as you might expect we would. Jeffy, thank you so much for coming on. By the way, people get your podcast.
It's good to see you.
Online.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking Walking Dead back up and running next week,
baby. Are you still doing that?
Because Walking Dead is back in less than 2 weeks.
Wow, that's a big one. Jeff, you're one of the biggest podcasters there is about Walking Dead. So, and I don't mean that just in the weight point. It's also
mostly in the weight, but there's
a huge listenership. I mean, like, to the point
you just
that Jeffy
keep going
gets like
with the huge, right?
I walked myself into it and I had to finish it. But I will say, like, Walking Dead sends Jeffy like all these like ridiculous props from the show.
I appreciate it. Awesome. And I still can't be a walker.
No, because you're sad. Overweight. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Jeffy. This half hour brought to you by Simply Safe, the home security company we've talked about for a really long time. We have this system. It is a really cool thing. They have a brand new home security system now, the all new Simply Safe. System has been completely rebuilt and redesigned. They've added new safeguards to protect against power outages, downed Wi-Fi, cut landlines, bats, hammers, everything in between. They've really made this all encompassing now. The all-new SimpliSafe was redesigned to be basically invisible. You don't have to. It's not one of these things where you sign up and they come in, they drill holes in your house, and you have to do all this rewiring. That's not how this works. SimpliSafe spent years building this system. They've added a ton, and you can get the same fair and honest price that they've had for a long time. 24/7 protection for only $15 a month, and there's no contract. It's smaller, it's faster, it's stronger than anything they've built before. Supply is limited. Visit SimpliSafeBeck.com now to order. SimpliSafeBeck.com to protect your home and family with SimpliSafe. It's the best on the market, and they do a great job with this. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Stu for Glenn, who's under the weather today. 888-727-BECK. We've had the announcement now that there will be an announcement tomorrow on Mitt Romney's candidacy for Senate, for the Senate seat that Orrin Hatch will vacate in November.
Yes, he's running. That's the announcement.
Yeah, he's running.
He's running.
He's announced that he's going to announce that he's running.
Right. Tomorrow, he will announce that he's running. Right now, he's just announced that he's announcing that he's running. And that's an important
distinction. Which is a completely different thing.
Totally different thing.
But don't even confuse the two.
It does seem like this is actually happening. Romney is going to announce tomorrow.
I mean, he's going to waltz into that seat.
Yeah. He'll win, what, 75-80%?
I would think so, yeah. Easy. I
mean, pretty easily.
Easily.
So that's not going to be difficult. Also, Elizabeth Warren, who we think might be running in 2020, has...
She's so bad. I hope she does. She can't win.
She's terrible.
Can't win.
She's appeared in front of a group of Native Americans to address... apparently her Native American controversy.
To admit that she's not?
No, I think it was more of a... It's just she's trying to find a way out of it, which is dumb because, honestly, if she was honest about this from the beginning, it wouldn't have been an issue.
No, you're right. If she would have said, look, I mean, my parents told me that I had this heritage. I didn't question it.
Right.
And maybe I don't. I don't know.
I mean, that's what's happening. I mean, my grandma always said that I was, we have Swedish background and also Italian on my mom's side.
Have you ever looked
into it? I've never looked into it.
Why are you
know that it's true. It's possible they were just lying to me for some reason. I don't know, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, why she shouldn't just said at the beginning, look, we had elements of the heritage around our house. My mom always told me that. I never checked into it. But I mean, if it's not true, I'm not trying to get an unfair advantage. It's just, you know, hey, if it's not true, it's not true. I still respect the heritage. And we grew up.
It would have been no big deal.
It would have not been a big deal.
I don't know why people can't just handle things like that.
Stop lying all the time.
Yeah.
Just tell the truth.
Good safety tip.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.